Thank you guys for singing. Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. Thank you again for singing. Thank you, church, for everything. Thank you to everyone, from the little jobs to the big jobs. You know, I believe all jobs are important. There's no job that's more important than the next one. Thank you for everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word, for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to, Holy Spirit, come down and meet with us this morning here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. We sure would be privileged to have you be a part of this service. We bind the devil off this place this morning. We don't want him anywhere around here. Lord, we just want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. And Lord, we want to understand this morning what you've given me, Lord, and help me to relay this as a messenger to your people, Lord. Get me out of the way. Let them hear a word from you this morning. Lord, I just pray, God, that you'll have your will and your way. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to preach with clarity and truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. I was going to go to the book of 2 Kings, but I believe the Lord's leading this way. Instead, I enjoy hearing my family sing. It's good, you know. We're going to talk about endeavoring to keep the unity in a church. You know, I think all across America right now, if you pay attention to the independent Baptist realm especially, there's some really good, sound doctrinal churches out there that are falling apart. And they're falling apart it's not that they're falling apart for no reason. The problem is they're falling apart because there's no unity in the church. You got a crowd that believes this way, a crowd that believes this way, a crowd that believes this way, and a preacher that preaches this way. Here's the problem, church. What we got to understand is our unity has to be around what God says. And if it's not, it's not going to work for any of us. I don't care if you've been teaching Sunday school for 50 years or a year, or been preaching for 50 years or a year, or playing the piano, or the guy or lady that cleans the church, or the parsonage, or the bathrooms, or the sign people, or the junior church people. It doesn't matter. If we don't have one sole goal and one unified thing around this Bible, we're going to be in a mess as a church. But I think if we can catch a hold to the importance of unity and how God really does like and appreciate unified believers around not our thoughts, but his thoughts. I think that our church here can benefit from that. I know I as a believer can benefit from that. I as a preacher, and I believe you can as well. So let's look at Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what, church? Unity. Let's say it again. Endeavoring to keep the what, church? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, understand the unity of the capital S Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So if we're going to endeavor to keep something that belongs to Him, we've already been given His Word. The Holy Spirit is the author of our Bible. Everybody okay with that? So if we're going to endeavor to keep that unity, what we have to do is understand that although we're going to have a lot of ideas going through this world, in our minds, in our churches, in classes, in junior churches, in VBSs, we're going to have a lot of ideas on what we think would work. But here's what we got to do. We got to filter our thoughts through His thoughts. And most of the time, what you'll realize is that your thoughts aren't lining up with what God said. And then when that happens, you have to understand that, okay, if I'm going to be a good soldier, if I'm going to be a good Christian, if I'm going to be a good worker, if I'm going to endeavor to keep the unity in my church, even though I, as a church member, have an idea that I think will work, and I think the church will move forward, and I think it's a great idea, but it doesn't line up with the Bible, listen, you're going to be the worst church member that New Hope Independent Baptist Church has ever seen if you want to do something contrary to the Bible. I'll be the worst preacher that you'll ever hear if I try to start preaching things contrary to God's Word. And you ought to get me out of here quick if that happens. Guys, we've got to understand, if it doesn't line up with what God says, it's not going to work. Eventually, you're going to run into somebody, and here's what happens. Churches sometimes will sit back and they'll say, well, If we speak up against that member, they're going to split the church. Church, listen, if you see something wrong, what you ought to do is filter it through the Bible. Don't go attack them. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Don't go attack them. As a brother or a sister, just like you would treat your own family, go to them in love and say, listen, sister, listen, brother, I think your idea sounds good and it looks good on the outside, but what does God say about your idea? I think it's okay to be that kind of a friend sometimes. You have to be that. It's called tough love. And that tough love sometimes works real good. But if we're going to endeavor to keep the unity, there's some things we got to do. It means making an effort or effort striving or a saying or attempting. How can I make an effort at keeping unity in our church? And this isn't my question. It's my question to me, but that's your question to you this morning as a member of New Hope Independent Baptist Church or a future member if you're thinking about being a member here. How can you be an effective member by keeping unity in the church? Well, number one, I think I can strive to be like-minded with the believers in my church. As believers, like I said before, what we believe here is salvation by grace through faith. Everybody okay with that? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing I could ever do. Now, I know I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and I know that there's still preachers out there that are preaching the gospel, but in most religions now, what you're going to learn is you can work your way to heaven. But we know that that's against the Bible. And we cannot be afraid to let people know that. I cannot tell you how many times I ask somebody, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I've been in church for years. Oh, yeah, I've been baptized 5 or 6 times. Church, listen, there's never been a water baptism ensure anybody for heaven. You ever heard the story of the thief on the cross when he was dying and Jesus looked to him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise? I don't read where any preacher came up, pulled that thief off the cross, took him and baptized him and put him back up there. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because he confessed with his mouth and he believed in his heart the Lord Jesus and that God hath raised him from the dead, and he believed on Jesus. It was Jesus that made the way for the thief on the cross. And listen, it's Jesus that has made or can make the way for you. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. You could be a member here forever. You could get buried in the cemetery out there when you die. But that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You must believe. And as a church, as members of this church, it's important, I think, that we understand that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Amen. Amen. So we can be like-minded with other believers in our church. And if you find someone that, listen, let me just give you a heads up. You're going to find someone that don't understand that. Now, does that make them a bad church member? No. It just means that we've lacked, as other church members, in teaching them what they need to learn. It's very important to understand the basics of the Bible. I would hate to wake up every day not having assurance that if I died tonight that I was going to go to heaven. I would not like to worry if I'm going to go to heaven or not. I love the assurance that the Bible says that I can know that I have eternal life. I love that the Bible says that no man can pluck me out of the hand of God. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I love knowing that no matter what happens to me here physically, if I absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't have to be like the rich man and die and in hell lift up my eyes. I love knowing that I have assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You say, how can you be so sure? Because it's not about me. It's about him. And if I don't trust what God said in the Bible, what am I trusting? It's very important to understand and be like-minded. Being like-minded around the idea that no matter what I or any other believer may think, God's word must be our final authority on everything. So, how do I be a better husband? Well, the Bible's got an awful lot to say about being a good husband. How can I be a better wife? The Bible's got an awful lot to say about being a better wife. How can I be a better child? You know, you got the least amount of instruction of any of us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's about all you have to worry about right now is obeying your parents and making sure that they have, you know, the ability to be the best mom and dad. They shouldn't have to worry about stressing over you. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I should hear some children saying what? Amen. That's good. I love it. They shouldn't have sat on the front row. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, how can I be a better child? How can I be a better preacher? Well, the Bible has an awful lot to say about a preacher. How can I be a better deacon? How can I be a better grandpa? How can I be a better grandma? Look, how many of you want to be the best grandma, grandpa you possibly can? I mean, how many of you would love for your little kids to come up to you and say, Papa, Mama, I got to tell you something. I got saved at church today. I remember that story you told me about Jesus. Well, it's real to me now. Hey, what a feeling that would be. I remember the night that my son, I remember the night they all got saved, but one in particular, Grandpa Roach, he came across and he preached a message on the rapture. And little Kelly came up to me after church that night. He said, Dad, I'm scared to death. He said, Daddy, I don't want to worry about that tribulational time. If I'm left behind, I don't want to worry about that. I don't want to die and go to that place. I said, buddy, good news. You don't have to. Church, it's important that we strive to be the best individual that we possibly can be. And let me tell you something. One of the biggest mistakes I've made in my life is trying to fix other people. And I understand there's advice to be given, but how can I fix someone else if I'm broke? And knowingly broke. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got to worry about us first. And then, you know, we can help other people. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Then, I don't want to misquote it. Will I be able to teach others also? But I must understand that God's word is the final authority. What we think or do is often in opposition to the Bible. We as believers must seek God in our decisions. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter number 55 this morning. Must learn to seek God in our decisions. And I can give you some good examples of that here of late in my own family. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, here it is, church, are not your thoughts. You know what that means? That means that more than likely, when we think something, it's not what God's thinking. You know, the Bible tells us to bring every thought captive, bring it into obedience. You know, we can't help. I heard it said like this: sometimes you can't help a thought that comes across your mind. But let me tell you a secret. You can help what you do with that thought. You have a Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have a Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you that gives you the ability to discern good and to discern evil. And when a thought crosses our mind and we ponder that thought, and sometimes here's what happens. Our flesh, and if we're living in the flesh, if we're serving the flesh and we're living in the flesh, that bad thought comes across our mind and we think, oh, I wonder where that thought came from. Oh, that's not so bad. Let me think a little bit more about that. And then the devil says, well, don't just ponder the thought, act on that. Like, here's your opportunity. You're already living in the flesh, and our flesh says, yeah, do it. But all along, the spirit man's warring against the flesh. But which one's going to win? The one you're feeding the most. The one you're feeding the most is always going to win. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Look back at verse number 7. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Do you know, church, there's sometimes we got to come to a reality that we have some pretty wicked thoughts. And we have some pretty wicked ways within us. The Bible does say there's none good, no, not one. It's okay sometimes, church, to just sit back and say, you know what? When I line up in comparison to God, I'm a filthy, nasty, rotten, vile, ugly, rotten, just a mess when I line up next to the Father. And when we look at that, we need to say, well, how can I be more like him? Well, this is him right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If I want to be more like the Father, how are you going to be like someone that you don't even know? You might know him because of salvation, but you haven't did anything beyond that. You don't spend time in the Bible. You don't spend time studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. You know, It's good to come here preaching, and it's good to get in fellowship with believers and open your Bible with other believers. But do you know that you ought to have a personal relationship, a personal Bible time with yourself? You'll never grow just listening to somebody preach three times a week. It's not going to happen. This has to be a daily thing. Imagine eating only three times a week. I think I'd grow plenty. But I'd grow a lot less if I only ate three times a week. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. If you're only eating when you're coming to church spiritually, how's your growth? It matters. You might say, well, I don't know what God would do in some situations. Here recently, as you can tell, we've made a lot of pretty major decisions, but not without praying. And let me tell you this. First of all, don't ever be so prideful to not ask someone to pray with you about something. You know, some of my greatest heroes are some of my preachers. My pastor in Alaska. And listen, I don't go to him and say, can I have your permission to do this? Okay, that's not how it works. But I do care about his opinion. Do you know why I care about his opinion? Because I know he cares about me. I married his daughter. And he cares about me long before that. He says I'm his favorite son, and I'm not even his son. But look, here's the deal. He taught me how to be a young man. He taught me how to be a better father. He taught me how to be a better husband. He taught me how to be a preacher, and I'm still working on that one. He taught me how to lead music. He's taught me all about life. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that when I go to him, he listens and he wants to hear what's going on. And if I say, Pastor, can you please pray with me about this situation? He'll say, absolutely. And hear me out now. Don't be afraid to listen to your pastor if he comes back to you and tell you something. Hey, that might not be a good idea. Or that might be a great idea. But you know, always include some other people with some accountability in your life to pray about your situations. Here recently, you know, just last Sunday, we didn't have the plans we have this Sunday. Just like that's what I told you this morning. Don't tell people what you're going to do tomorrow. Because you have no idea. I mean, last Sunday, I had no intentions of selling my house. Today, my house is on the market for 2 days. I'm just saying, the Lord opened up some doors. My thoughts weren't his thoughts. He made it very evident. This is not what I want you to do. I don't want you to do what you're thinking is not a good idea. And he said, this is what you need to do. I helped you buy that house. I think I'm capable of selling it for you. Hello? And here I'm thinking, well, what am I? It doesn't matter. God's got it all figured out. This is where the trust part comes in. This is where the faith part comes in. Who are you putting your faith and trust in, you or God? Just ask the Lord to help you in your situations. Well, it's simply because we're not seeking God. We're not asking God is why we don't really know what to do in our situations. You think about how often, if you were to be honest, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to go around the room right now and say, I want you to tell me, I'll just use my wife as an example. I want you to tell me, Crystal, what was the latest, most serious, life-changing situation that happened in your life? And then I want to say, tell me how many times you brought it to the Lord. If I were to do that in here, many of us, myself included, would just hang my head and say, Lord, I hope he doesn't call my name because I don't want to lie in church. I mean, here's what we do. We just try to figure it out on our own when we have an all-knowing God who already has it figured out, church. Isn't that a good thing to know that he cares about you so much? He fixes your problems and has them figured out before you even know you had a problem. That's a pretty cool thing. I could tell you story after story just this week of things that's happened. But I don't have time to do that. We got a few more minutes. Bring them to the Lord. Romans chapter number 12, you know, we're not going to go there. Although we should be like-minded in our doctrine, every one of us do not share the same job. You know, in a church, not only is it important to keep unity, but understand in this church, and here's where we're going to, here in a few weeks, we're going to pull out the spiritual gifts, and we're going to take some time, and we're going to teach those, and we're going to learn those, and we're going to learn each other's spiritual gifts as a church. And I'll tell you what, when you catch a hold of that, you'll understand that church member a whole lot more. You'll understand your wife more. All God's men said, hey, ladies, you'll understand that old joker that has to come home every day. And you're just like, man, what have you done with your life today? I cook for you. I clean for you. Look, you'll understand that old joker a little bit more when you understand his spiritual gift. Oh, man, this is getting good. Isn't church fun? Look, when you understand people's spiritual gift, here's what you understand about them. You understand how God wired them. We know that the Bible says we're all fearfully and wonderfully made into His likeness and His image. But when we got that Holy Spirit, with that Holy Spirit came a gift. And man, when we get that gift, here's the thing. Everybody's not called to preach. Everybody okay with that? I mean, I didn't realize that I was called to preach till I was like maybe 20 years old. I preached a couple times as a teenager and didn't like it. To be honest, I was like, I don't want nothing to do with that. That's not me. I don't. You might not realize this, but I do not like being in front of people that much. I have a horrible fear of a speech class. I remember that in eighth grade. I about failed because I there was no way I was going up there and just talking and giving a dumb speech in front of people. Like, for what? For a grade? Are you kidding me? Everybody's not called to preach. Hey, everybody's not called to teach. Everybody okay with that? Now, some people are called to preach. Some people are called to teach. Aren't you thankful for those of you who are not, that other people are? Hey, aren't you thankful that some are called and have the gift to lead singing? And aren't you thankful that some have the gift of giving? Look, I don't have a lot of money, but there are people out there that do. And that God has blessed, not that God hasn't blessed me, but here's the thing. God blesses certain individuals with money, I think, sometimes. And you know that God loveth a cheerful giver. You know that there might be a need in a church or a community where I might not be able to meet that financial need, but there might be a church member who says, hey, I don't want my name to be known, but I would love to meet that need financially. Did you know that God gave them that gift? And by the way, He knew that He could trust them with that money before He gave them that gift. They're wise in their finances. There's people out there way wiser than I am in that realm of life. I'm just saying. I'd love to be as wise as some people, but you know, there's a gift of mercy. You know, everybody don't have mercy. Everybody, how many are long-suffering in here? Not many hands went up on that one. But look, I'll just tell you a secret. That's my gift. I am a very, and it's not me, it's what God gave me the ability to have mercy. I grew up in a life where I grew up in a split home. My mom wasn't always around, my dad wasn't around, and I grew up with good grandparents, but I always, you long to have what God meant for you to have. You understand what I'm saying? If you grew up with your mom and dad, you understand. If you didn't, hey, you know where I'm coming from. There's many of us in here, I'm sure, that grew up in split homes. But what I learned later in life as I asked those questions growing up, like, God, why on earth would you allow me to go through that? Why'd you choose me to do that? And then I'll tell you what, I got to Alaska and I started investing in young men, and the amount of young men that I was able to minister to who didn't have a good dad, who didn't have a good mom, and I was able to pull them in and minister to them and tell them about my life and just let them know that somebody cares. Hey, my gift is mercy. Aren't you thankful for people that have mercy? I'll tell you what, they're few and far between, but it's a good gift to have. Everybody isn't meant to be the song leader. Everybody isn't meant to be the Sunday school teacher. What I'm saying is, we got to start learning to understand each other's gifts and be unified around that. And here's the best thing you can do as a church member. Help that person be the best that they can be at their job. You know what you do? You say, Brother so-and-so, you did a really good job singing this morning. And even though they might not think so, when they get a word of encouragement from somebody, hey, how many of you like to be discouraged? Does anyone like it when they come to you and say, that was really horrible, I really hope you never do that again? I can tell you a funny story, but I don't want to waste my 5 minutes, okay? But I'm saying is, like, if you sang a special and someone said, man, I really hope they never sing again, that was awful. Now, how many of you would be discouraged if someone told you that? All of us. And you know something? They might have had the best heart in the church singing for the Lord. It might not have sounded great, but you might have just discouraged them from doing anything for the Lord ever again. You know, they might not be the best Sunday school teacher right now, but I'll tell you what, a little word of encouragement and saying, hey, I really appreciate that you're willing to teach my kids in Sunday school. I really appreciate that you take the time out of your week to study so that my children can have a Sunday school class to go to. I really appreciate that you care about my kids enough to do that, and I'm praying for you, and I want you to know I think you're doing a good job. Hey, church, listen, that's unity. And when somebody comes to you and says that, now I know there's people that don't like to be noticed, but here's something that I have to work on myself. When someone comes to you and wants to be a blessing to you, church, listen, let them. God has given certain people the ability to be blessings to people. Don't ever stop someone from being a blessing to you. If they offer you something, I mean, it's not natural to say, yeah, I'll take that, because I'm not a taker, I'm a giver. But listen, if God put it on their heart to be a blessing to you, who are you to take that blessing away from them? The Bible says it's more blessed to give, right? And if they're just using their gift, church, you know what you say? I really appreciate that. This couldn't have come in a better time. The Lord used you to be a blessing to my family. Church, this unity thing is very, very, very important. Every job, catch this now, every job, every member is important. I mean, from the smallest baby in the nursery to the oldest man and woman in the church, every single member is important. One more scripture, Psalm 133, and we're done. Psalm chapter 133. Let me show you how important unity is. The Bible references it to like a precious ointment. You ever had some pain before and you get to that doctor and you dread that medicine, but man, when that medicine kicks in, it feels better, don't it? You know, the Bible says a merry heart doth good like a medicine. We're not going to go to that verse. I'd love to, but here's where we're going to go. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for," what's the next word? Now understand, when he says brethren, he's talking to saved people, okay? He's talking to believers. If you're a believer, say amen. Amen. If you're going to heaven, say amen. Amen. This verse is talking to you. How good and how precious, or how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what, church? Amen. Unity. Here's what it says. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Notice how he talked about blessings and unity right there in the same little thing right there. You know what? If New Hope Independent Baptist Church wants to receive of the blessings that God can and wants to give us, church, we're going to have to be unified. And I think we have some very good people here. I think we have some great couples here. We have some good families here. We have some good members here. I don't even know all of you like I'm looking forward to getting to know you yet, but I realize this. God can do great and mighty things that we don't even know about if we just choose to be unified around Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for Your Word and for Your truth. Lord, bless us now. Bless this business meeting. Lord, bless these people that came out this morning. Thank You for allowing them to be in church. Lord, bless us now as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen.